Moses tried to do God's work in his power. And he crashed and burned and failed. Because he was trying to do the right thing the wrong way.
This is Straight Talk.
This is Mark Jobe with you on Straight Talk. Many of us are going about our lives thinking that we direct our future and thinking that life is just a series of random coincidences that make no sense. But here's the thing. God is sovereign. That means that God rules over all the universe and God knows the outcome of all things. God is also omnipotent. That means that God has all power to do all things. God is also omniscient, which means that God knows everything all the time and has never learned anything because he's always known all things. With that in mind, I want to remind you that God does have a plan and a purpose for your life. Some of you are going through things right now that you cannot make heads or tails out of it. That you may, it makes no sense, the crisis you're going through, the series of circumstances you're going through. But I want to assure you that it has not caught God by surprise. That God knew in advance that this was going to happen at this time and in this severity. So I want some of you just to take a deep breath. And no, God is in control. So this is series Experiencing. God's going to help you understand these principles that assure you that God has a plan and a purpose and know how to cooperate with his plan and his purpose. God bless.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Straight Talk. We continue on in our series called Experiencing God today with part two, Cooperating with God. Our text will be found in the book of Exodus chapter 2. Here's Pastor Mark with this edition of Straight Talk.
I may have told you this story before, but I like it. It's a story of cooperation. I heard of a neighbor who was walking past his neighbor's house, and he saw a man struggling with the refrigerator at a door. And so his neighbor said, "Hey, can I help you out?" He says, "Man, great, help me out." So his neighbor grabbed the other side of the refrigerator and they struggled and they pushed, trying to move this refrigerator in and out of that door frame. They're hitting the wall. It was getting stuck. They were pushing. It was heavy. Finally, after a half hour of struggling, the neighbor that had dropped by to help said, "Listen, we're never going to get this refrigerator out of this house. It's never going to happen." And the guy on the other side said, "Get it out. We're trying to get it in." You see, that's a story of cooperation, and some of us are like that with God. You think you're helping God out. You think you're cooperating with God, but in essence, over the last 5 years, you've actually been tugging the opposite direction of God. God has been pushing this way, you have been pushing that way. And finally, you're at a place of being stuck and you're frustrated, thinking that you're cooperating with God. In reality, you have been resisting God. And so this morning, I want us to look a little bit what it means to cooperate with God. God is always asking you to join him and his work in cooperation. We see this in Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about how do you prepare yourself to join God's plan, to have a spirit of cooperation with what God is doing. Verse 11 of Exodus chapter 2. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his people were and watched them at their hard labor. Moses had grown up, so now he's about 40 years old. He's discovered his roots. Has that ever happened to you that you sort of somehow, when you're older, you discover your roots? And then it kind of gives you a connection with your roots. A lot of people in their teens, when they discover their ethnicity, they want to go back to the country that their grandparents were from and look at it. And then they come back, you know, with the shirt of their country and liking the food of their country because they're discovering their roots again. They're figuring out who they are. It's like, those are my people. That's where I came from. Moses is 40 years old, and now he's finally really discovered that he's not really an Egyptian. He's actually a Hebrew. And the very people that he is with and he dresses like and acts like and talks like are oppressing in slavery the people that he really is biologically connected to. And so it brings about a crisis in his life. In fact, now he begins to see himself as a man that God has called to liberate. And one day he's out there and he sees that an Egyptian is beating a Hebrew. Now, in the past, he would have cared less about it because Hebrews were beaten all the time by Egyptians. But now he's discovered his identity. He's relating to his people, and he has a seed inside of him that reminds him he's called to be a liberator. You see, some of you have flashes of what God has called you to be. You don't know where they came from. You don't know when it started, but ever since you were a little child, you've had these flashes. It's like these images, these desires, these fragments of a God-given future that are flashing your way. Visions, a burden for something. You don't quite understand it, but it draws you, it attracts you, it leads you there. I believe that Moses always, since at a young age, he understood, he had a heart of a liberator. I'm going to set my people free. I want to fight for my people. But yet, although he had fragments of what his God-given destiny was, he did not have the character yet to step into his God-given destiny and fulfill his plan. Sometimes we have a sense of our calling, but we don't have the character or maturity to handle the calling that God is leading us towards. And so in his flesh, he says, as he saw this Hebrew glancing this way or that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day when he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting, he asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" Verse 14, the man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then suddenly Moses realized, hey, this wasn't as secret as I thought it was. The word has spread that I've killed an Egyptian. People know about it. Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. So he's got this image of a liberator. He knows deep inside, without fully knowing God or fully knowing his call, he knows that he needs to step in that direction, but he does it the wrong way, and he crashes and burns, and as a result of those wrong decisions, it says that he has to run. Verse 15, when the Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. And it goes on to tell the story how he's by a well. There's a fella that Jethro who has seven daughters. They come to draw water from the well. There's some people there. Moses fights them off. They're able to draw water from the well. They take Moses back to meet their father, and his new life begins. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. We must go through a process as we prepare to cooperate with God. We must go through a process of character upgrade if we want to move to the next level of cooperation with God. You see, what I've discovered is there's a lot of people that have the right idea, but they lack the character and the humility to do what God has called them to do. That relates to your family. It relates to your business. It relates to ministry. Some of you have the right idea of what God has called you to do, but you go and try to do it in the power of the flesh rather than the power of God. You have an idea of what God has called you to be. You have fragments of the future coming your direction, a sense of what God is calling you to become, but you don't have the character to sustain what God is calling you to be. And when that happens, when we don't have character, we may try to do something that's good, but we're not prepared to do it, so we crash and burn. I see that it's in ministry all the time. I see, that's why the Bible says, do not lay hands on a young person a new convert too early, because someone may have an incredible gift, but if they don't have the character and humility of heart, they may have a gift and be very talented even in ministry, but if they don't have the character, they'll crash and burn and fall morally. I run into people all the time who say, well, Pastor, I heard of this evangelist who led a lot of people to Christ, and people were coming and had a great ministry, and suddenly he had an affair and fell into immorality. So was he false? Was he true? Was he a fake? And here's what I would say. Character and ability are given by God as a grace. Ability and gifts are given to God as a grace. They have nothing to do with you deserving or earning it. Character is learned. Ability is given. Are you tracking with me? The ability that you have has nothing to do with what you've done to earn it or deserve it. Ability and gifts are given to you by God. Some of you can sing and you sing beautifully, and you've been able to sing since you were just a little child. Now, you didn't do anything to deserve that singing ability. You just were born with that singing ability because God gave it to you, right? Gifts of the Spirit and calling and ability are given by God, but we have to have our character measure up with that God-given ability that we have. And if our character doesn't get upgraded, if we don't change in our character, then whatever ability God has given us eventually will crash and burn, because you can't have a call without character. Some young men feel like, I want to be a father, I want to be a husband. And that's good. That's a good desire, but get some character. I want to be used of God. Oh, I want to preach or be used of God or teach. That's good. It's a good desire, but get some character. Learn, gain, mature. Moses wanted to be a liberator, but he went about the liberating process all the wrong way. He used violence and lying and deceit and his own power to try to liberate his people. That was not God's way. It was the right heart, but the wrong method, because there was wrong character there. I remember when I was young, 21 years old, I actually started pastoring this church when I was 21 years old. 21 is way too young to pastor. No 21-year-old, I don't think, should be pastoring a church. What was wrong with us? I don't know. And I think the church was so desperate, and I was so naive that we both came together and said, okay, let's see what's going to happen here. And I remember that God taught me a powerful lesson within my first 6 months of ministry, because I started out, and I realized there was a lot of needs all around. And I was 21, and here's the thing about youth. Youth has passion and energy, but oftentimes lacks wisdom and maturity. And when you're young, you think you can do anything and everything, but sometimes you haven't gained the wisdom to understand what your limits are. And so I threw myself into that little church that we had, and I was ministering and visiting people, and there were all kinds of needs, and people that were getting out of drug addiction, and people that were struggling in their marriages, and all kinds of things. And I felt like, God, you've called me. And so I just threw myself into it, and I was visiting people and doing this and that, and going, feeling like, hey, God, you've called me. Here I am, finally. And about 6 months into the ministry, I remember I got so sick.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Cooperating with God. It's from our series called Experiencing God. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. His message, Cooperating with God.
That I stood up before the congregation to preach, that small group of people, maybe 30 people, I stood up to preach, and my prayer in my heart was, oh God, help me not to pass out, because I am so sick. I think I'm going to faint right now. I don't know if I'm going to be able to survive. And finally, when the service was over, I got a hold of my grandmother, because I had no medical insurance. And she had her doctor see me pro bono. I was his charity case. And so the doctor came to see me, and he did some tests, and he says, you are basically exhausted. You have strep throat, a touch of mono. It looks like you may have hepatitis. Your body's breaking down because you just need to stop and you need to rest for a week. So he ordered a week of rest. And I said, no, I can't afford it. You don't understand. They need me. I could barely swallow. My throat was all kind of full of these little white bumps. And I was saying to God, God, is this what I get? I throw myself into helping people. I'm poor. I live in some little place that someone let me have for free. I'm ministering. Now I'm sick. I can't get out of bed. Lord, I'm trying to serve you. What's wrong? And I'll never forget that God spoke strongly to my heart and reminded me, you are not the Messiah. You're trying to do in your power what only I can do. You are a servant of mine, but I am God. I am the Messiah. I save, I heal, I change, I deliver, I transform people's lives. You don't. And you've been trying to do in the power of your flesh what only can be done in the power of my spirit. So you need to, I felt like God was stepping back and saying, okay, let's see how far this young kid goes. And then when I crashed and burned, I threw up and blamed God on it. And God was saying, no, don't blame me. You've been doing this on your own. Now invite me to be a part of the process. And I remember getting off that bed of sickness saying, God, I will do this in your power. I will never assume that I can fix anybody, heal anybody, save anybody, change anybody. I am just a vessel. I'm just a servant. You are God. I need your power. I will depend on you. You will be my strength. This will be your work. This is all about you and your power. God, I don't want to try to do this in the power of my flesh. And that lesson has come back to me over and over and over throughout the years. This is about God. And it gives me great confidence to know that the work that God has started even in this church and throughout the city is a God work. Doesn't depend on one man or a team of people. This is a God work. It has been raised by the power of God. But never try to do in the power of the flesh that which can only be done in the power of God. Moses tried to do God's work in his power. And he crashed and burned and failed because he was trying to do the right thing the wrong way. So what God does is God takes him through a process of purification. D.L. Moody put it this way. Moses spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he was somebody. He spent the second 40 years learning he was a nobody. And he spent the last 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. I like that. So finally, God leads Moses to the desert. He leaves this big metropolitan place of power. Now he finds himself in Podunkville, out in the middle of the desert, living with nomadic people, becoming a shepherd. And God did something to Moses that I think transformed his character more than anything else. Some people think it was living in the desert that made Moses humble. Other people say it was being a shepherd for 40 years that made Moses humble and formed his character. I believe that getting married and having children really did it to Moses. He married a woman by the name of Zipporah. He had two sons. One he named Gershom, which means, it tells us in verse 22, Moses named him Gershom, which means I have become an alien in my foreign land. That's kind of mean naming your son that way. It's like, hey, I become an alien in a foreign land. Is he in the nursery? A long name tag. But I believe that one of the things that God did to Moses is he got Moses married. He had him have children. And he gave him a job that wasn't very flamboyant, the job of a shepherd. Now, I think our Western world has idealized what it means to be a shepherd. We see these pictures on these portraits of a shepherd with a nice little white woolly lamb carrying him, and we think, wow, it must be something to be a shepherd. But you see, I grew up in a town in northern Spain called Rubena. My best friend was the son of a shepherd. I grew up around this, my friend, and I would help him with the sheep sometime. And his father would take about 400 sheep every day out into the hills around the town where I lived. And he would take care of the sheep. And I'm going to tell you, being a shepherd is not this lofty, nice, idyllic position. This guy would smell like sheep. It was a dirty, nasty, looked down upon job, even in the village where I lived. And these little, nice, woolly sheep usually weren't clean. They were muddy, dirty, stinky, and dumb. And everybody, even in the village, sort of looked down upon the shepherd. And so Moses, who was raised as an Egyptian, actually the Egyptians despised the shepherd. So now Moses had this routine, day-to-day job. He's married, two children. He's learning maturity. And I believe that sometimes the way we learn maturity is through responsibility in life. He was a young, energetic, idealistic, proudful young man. God said, I'm going to have to humble him. So he got married. There's nothing that's brought me greater joy in life than my marriage and my children. But there's nothing that's humbled me more and giving me more patience than being married and having children. It just, you know, it humbles you. It causes you to grow. It causes you to change. It causes you to realize who you are and have patience. And when they're young, changing dirty diapers and getting spit up on and waking up in the middle of the night and realizing that you don't know everything and having little kids and feeling like, oh God, I don't want to mess up these kids so that they spend years in therapy. Lord, help me to do a good job. It's a humbling thing. All of you, those of you that are parents, understand the challenge and how you feel, how intimidated you feel at the prospect of raising children. I think it's true to every young new parent. And Moses, after 40 years of doing this, God was humbling, changing his character. God was preparing him. Moses probably thought about this time that God was done with him. After 40 years of being married and raising children and having a job, ideas of being a liberator, ideas of being used had sort of gone out of his system. Now he didn't see himself as a liberator. He didn't see himself as someone that would set his people free. Now he simply saw himself as a father. As a shepherd, as a regular man. But it's about that time in life, after we learn humility, after God teaches us that He is in control, after we learn through the grind of life, what it means to take on responsibility. And I talk to young men all the time about this topic, and they want to be used of God. And I say, great, great, you know, but... You know, get a job, learn to work. They want to get married. That's great. You know, graduate from high school first. Get a job. Get your GED. Move out from your parents' household. Learn to save some money. Learn to do your own laundry. Learn to pay rent. Grow up a little bit. Learn some maturity. And then you can begin to lead a household. The second thing I want you to understand is this. I'm talking about what it means to cooperate with God. We must encounter anew the greatness and the power of God to move forward in cooperation. So finally, it tells us at the end of chapter 2, during a long period of time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and He remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites with concern about them. So 40 years have passed. It's been 40 years since Moses had to run from Egypt. It's been 40 years that he's lived in the desert. 40 years that he's held this job, this routine job. 40 years that he's been married and had children. 40 years that he's living pretty much a normal life. His ideas of the past have gone, and here's what I want you to know. Some of you, when you were younger, had images of what God was calling you to do, and you attempted them, and you failed at them, and you've long since put them aside, but it just may be that God revives the dreams and visions of your past when you're ready to handle them.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's message called Cooperating with God, which is part of our current series called Experiencing God. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.